Good morning. We have a good crowd this morning. Don't know how to act with all these people around. We're sure glad you're with us today. Thankful to the Lord for this fantastic weather we've had this week. The rain. I want to draw your attention to the concept of prayer. We've been talking about prayer the last couple weeks. And the scriptures implore us never stop praying. The Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren at Thessalonica and said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you." It is God's will that we pray. In Luke chapter 18, he said that men ought to always pray everywhere. And we understand that we've been looking at, unlike people in the world, Christians are promised that God will hear their prayers and that God will answer their prayers. Jesus said in Luke, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." But then he adds a little clarification to that in John chapter 5. He says, "If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So what we ask has to be asked in accordance with the will of God. We know that from time to time all of us have brought what we felt to be urgent prayers before God, and that God didn't answer those prayers. We didn't get what we prayed for. Well, we understand that all of God's promises are conditional, and the condition under which we pray is that we ask according to the will of God. Romans 10, we read, "Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But then he clarifies and puts the condition on that in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Not everyone that calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So we understand that the having of faith, the calling on God, has to be accompanied by a response on our part. There has to be some activity, some commitment. Over the past couple of weeks, we've observed seven things that causes God to refuse our prayers. The one thing is we don't get what we don't ask for. James tells us that we don't have because we didn't ask. He's also said that we need to ask in faith. Sometimes we ask for things not really thinking that God can do it or not really thinking that God will do it, but we just ask it. And he says, those kind of prayers aren't going to be responded to by God. Jesus also said, if you don't listen to me, I'm not going to listen to you. If we don't listen when he speaks to us through his word, then he's not going to respond to us. And he goes on to say in the Psalms that if we harbor evil in our heart, then he's not going to bless us with answers to our prayers. See, the prayer has to be a heart-to-heart communication. It can't be something that we just do because we're supposed to pray. It's our duty to pray. And when we use just vain repetition, a lot of times we just say the same prayer over and over. And over and over. And he says, God's not going to hear us just because we said it so many different times, repeated very often the words of someone else. And he doesn't respond to prayers that are just selfish. We just ask for things that because we want to use them and think that they'll make us happy, and we place our emphasis on those things. So this week we want to turn a little bit in the opposite direction, and we want to see some of the positive aspects, things that we do that will cause our prayers to be received by God. The first thing we want to see is that we need to develop a prayer relationship with God. And once we have developed that prayer relationship, based upon that relationship, then we will have the ability to approach God and to talk with Him about whatever happens to be on our mind. If we want God to respond to our prayers, thirdly, we will see that we need to pray in Jesus' name. And we'll look a little bit and see about what praying in Jesus' name means. And then we want to end by talking about approaching God with an attitude of thankfulness, being grateful to God and praising God for who and what He is. First, we want to see that we need to develop a relationship with God, a prayer relationship. All of you know me, so you don't realize how shy I am around people I don't know. It's hard for me to meet strangers. My wife is the opposite. She's never met a stranger. 10 minutes with her and you're a lifelong friend. But for most of us, it's not so easy to talk to people that you don't know. And it takes a while to get that avenue of communication to where you're comfortable talking with them. And that's, you know, the objective of conversation is communication. And our words transmit our thoughts, and we're trying to mesh our thoughts with somebody else's thoughts, and as we talk, we sort of synchronize our mind with theirs, and that's something that's done unconsciously, but we don't know how we're communicating when we're talking with someone we don't know. We don't know how they're receiving us and how they're responding to what we're saying. And so prayer is basically the same way. When we talk to God and God's a stranger, we don't feel comfortable in that conversation, and we don't know what to anticipate His response will be. But the more intimate we get with God, the closer relationship that we get with God, the easier it is to talk with Him about whatever happens to be on our heart. God desires that close relationship with us. God left heaven. He sent His only begotten Son to live among us, to identify with us, and to pay the penalty for sins that we committed, not for sins that He committed. And all of that because He wants to have a close relationship with us. John chapter 6 says, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out." We've been studying in James. James says, you draw near to God and He will draw near to you. God won't push us away. You know, when you're a young guy and you're not very familiar with how to relate to people of the opposite gender, and you make this advance at a girl, she draws away from you, and your whole world ends. But God's never going to do that. God's never going to push us off and draw back. He wants to be our friend. And Jesus says, "You are my friend if you do what I command you." And then He goes on to say that, "I don't call you slaves anymore," because slaves don't know what their master's up to. They just obey. He said, "I call you friends because I've laid out what the whole plan is for you, and you're a participant in the plan." And so Jesus wants to call us friend. Jesus wants to have fellowship with us. In 1 John chapter 1, He says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." He said, "If you will come and be part of this, you and I will have fellowship. We will have commonness together." Well, how do we develop that commonness with God? We develop that commonness, that closeness of relationship, by learning about Him, studying His Word, meditating and talking with Him and praying with Him. He says, you're my friend if you keep my commandments. But how do we know what His commandments are? We know what His commandments are because we study the words that He's left for us in the Scriptures. In order to have fellowship with Him, He says, we walk in the light. John chapter 8 says, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says, what I want is for you to have the light of life. That's why in Matthew chapter 5, when he's delivering the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you are the light of the world. Well, earlier in John chapter 9, he said, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And so he said he's preparing us so that while he's here, while he's among us, he's the one who shines the light into the darkness. But when he leaves, then we're the ones that take over. We're the light of the world. And so we develop that relationship, that friendship, that partnership in the work of God through our experiences with Him. Christians have the confidence then, based upon this relationship, to be able to talk with God about anything that is on our heart. We develop our friendship with Jesus so that we're comfortable in talking with Him. It isn't something that we have to hem-haw about, that we can just lay it out like we're talking to our friend. Jesus wants to be the closest kind of a friend. You know, we read in Proverbs 18, it says, a man that has too many friends will come to ruin, but he says, there's a friend that you want to have. He's a friend that's closer than a brother. And that's the relationship that Jesus wants to have with us. The Hebrew writer describes that relationship. He said, the ones who does the sanctifying and the one who is sanctified, they're the same. He says, Jesus makes us sanctified and then we become sanctified because of Jesus. He says, they're the same because they're born of the same Father. And therefore, Jesus is not ashamed to call us His brothers and His sisters. God, when we come to Him, will never rebuff us. He will never scoff at us as long as we humble ourselves before Him in faith. James chapter 1, verse 5 talks about how he understands that it's going to be difficult for us to understand how adversities in our life are good for us. He says, when you lack that wisdom, you go to God and He'll give it to you generously and He won't rebuke you, rebuff, reprove you for asking. You won't think that that's a silly thing that you're bringing to Him. Jesus solicits our prayers. He wants for us to pray to Him. 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. Jesus cares about us. And so He says, cast all your anxiety on Him. When we're walking around in this life and we're carrying a burden of worry and cares and anxieties in our life, we're walking outside the will of God, because the will of God is that He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. He says, when you're burdened down and the whole world seems to be closing in on you, He says, turn it over to God and He'll handle it for you. And He'll handle it in a way that ultimately it'll be to your good and His glory. We get a saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I don't really buy that. A short absence may make the heart grow fonder. But, you know, I was absent for many years, and I would come back 3 months every 3 years, and, you know, just about everybody I knew could hardly remember my name after a few years. Doesn't take long on a mission field to find out just how forgettable you are. So God emphasizes that it's important for us to maintain our relationship not only with Him, but to maintain our relationship with Him through the church. And so He tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate, to motivate, to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, relationships are built over time. Relationships don't happen instantly. They're built through shared experiences. They're built through shared struggles. And that's the way we develop our relationship with God. That's the way we develop our relationship with the church and the brethren in the church. And so it's important that we not forsake our assembling together, as the Hebrew writer encouraged us. Thirdly, in order to have our prayers received and responded to, we need to pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus is our only access to heaven. John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." Nobody will enter heaven through good deeds. No one will enter heaven through Muhammad, through Buddha, or through any other means. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody will ever come to the Father except through me." In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul, writing about Jesus, said that the eternal purpose of God was carried out in Jesus Christ, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. When we ask anything in the name of the Son, asking in the name of the Son glorifies the Father. Anytime a son does something, it glorifies the Father. I was involved in sports for a number of years, and my father worked the evening shift, and so he never came to watch me play in any of the sports where I was. But you know, whenever I made the all-conference team, and I had a little article in the paper, that paper was conspicuously on the bulletin board where he worked, and everybody that I talked to that my father worked with knew about the fact that I had made the all-conference team, and was a source of pride to him. And so it's a source of pride to God. It's a source of honor when we pray to God through Jesus. It brings glory to the Father. Jesus is also the only mediator that we have, the one that stands between us and God and communicates our heart to God's heart. 1 Timothy chapter 1 says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Himself, man, Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. The Apostle John wrote to us and he said, "I don't want you to sin, but don't panic when you do sin." He says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins." We have an advocate. The word advocate is like an attorney. When we stand before the judgment bar of God, we don't stand there accused. We stand there with a mediator. We stand there with an advocate who is pleading our case, pointing to the price that has been paid for our justification. In Hebrews chapter 7, says he is able to save us to the uttermost, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He intercedes for us. He pleads on our behalf. He is our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. It says we can draw near to the very throne of God. You remember the story in the Old Testament of Esther, the book of Esther? Young Esther had been made queen of the land. She was the wife of a sovereign king who ruled over a great empire. But she knew she couldn't just go to him and talk to him anytime she wanted to. When her uncle Mordecai came to her and wanted her to go intercede on behalf of the Jewish nation, she was afraid. She said, I can't just walk up there. Because when she went up to him, if he didn't touch her with his scepter, she would be killed right there. No questions asked. She didn't even have confidence to talk to her own husband. He said, we can go before the sovereign ruler of the entire universe. And we can pour out our heart to him about anything that we want to. We have confident access. Not disrespectful, but confident access. So when we ask in the name of Jesus, we're not just sticking a tagline on the end of our prayer. We're making appeal to the very Son of God. We're making appeal to the one who promised us if we ask anything in his name, according to his will, he will hear us. When we ask in his name, we're asking by his authority. When we ask in his name, we're asking for his approval of what we're requesting. Finally, we should always approach God with praise, with adoration, and with gratitude. When Jesus gave us what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, it was a blueprint for prayer. And he starts off in the very first phrase in verse 9, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. He says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He starts off praising God. The word hallowed means praise, honored, respected, high, holy, lifted up. And then in the middle of the prayer, he says, Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. He acknowledges God's superiority to man and God's status as being lifted up. He ends his prayer the same way that he began the prayer. Prayer is a praise sandwich. He ends his prayer saying, For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So praise is something that should be part of all of our prayers, because we are, in fact, humbling ourselves before the ruler of the universe. The apostles, all of them, praised God in their prayers. The apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, says, So that all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The apostle John, in Revelation chapter 1, He has made us a kingdom of priests to His God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul would write, To the only wise God through Jesus Christ be the glory forever. Amen. Jude, the Lord's brother, would write, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times and now forever. Amen. The Hebrew writer would also praise God, writing, "Even Jesus our Lord equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." We owe God everything. We owe Him our praise, we owe Him our honor, and we owe Him our gratitude. And one of the most sincere forms of praise is the avenue of thanksgiving, being grateful to God for what He has done, is doing, and will do on our behalf. The Hebrew writer in chapter 13 tells us, "Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name." If we want to offer a sacrifice to God, we don't butcher a bull or a goat or a lamb and burn it in our assembly. We offer up our praise to Him, the fruit of the lips that give thanks. We honor God. We recognize that He is our sustainer in life. In Him we live, we move, and we have our very being. And we should always be free to acknowledge that. Rejoice in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you. So we've seen in our lesson today that we need to work to establish a prayer relationship with God. When we have that prayer relationship with God, we will have the confidence to appear before God and talk to Him about anything that is on our heart. And as we talk to God, we give honor to Him by praying in the name of His Son that He gave to be the propitiation for our sins. And as we approach God, we approach Him with respect. We approach Him honoring His name. We approach Him praising His name, expressing our love for Him and our gratitude for all that He's done for us. I can't think of a more fitting way to end a lesson about prayer than to have prayer. And so we're going to call Greg to come forward and lead us in prayer.
I've been a member of the church for nearly my whole entire life, and I know this is going to be hard to believe, but I've not been a perfect person. That's a joke, you know. But I do think I've had a pretty good prayer life, but as Brother Wayne's mentioned given his lesson, I'm thinking about that. And if I'm going to be honest, I've probably prayed more often when I've needed something than I've prayed to praise God. Let me tell you something about yesterday. Yesterday was a beautiful day. Yesterday, if you've ridden a motorcycle, was the most beautiful riding day ever. Teasing Mitch, I call him Bronson because he can get on his motorcycle and go wherever he wants to. You know what? That's what I did yesterday. So my name was Bronson. I just got on my motorcycle and I rode about 200 miles yesterday. It was awesome. And I just kept thinking, what a beautiful, 35 miles or so south of here, maybe not quite that much. You get on Route 40, that's one of the best riding roads there is, and you get to see the awesomeness of God. When I've prayed, I don't always know what to say. You ever had that? Don't know what to say? Don't know how to say it? Everybody's experienced that. Brother Wayne asked me to pray. I thought, well, I don't know what to say. How do you sum up all these things that he's mentioned? Well, I don't have to worry about that, and you don't have to worry about that either. We have an advocate that helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. Did you know that? God knows what we need before we ask. But just like Abraham and Isaac He wants you to ask. He wants to see just where you're at, and not for His benefit, because He knows, but for your benefit. So that's kind of what prayer is. So I'm going to do my best, and God's going to help. So please bow with me. Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we have this form of communication, to be able to open up our hearts and our minds to You, and to know that You will hear us. Now, Father, I fear that sometimes when we pray, we're just simply putting words out into the air, and we don't recognize You as a personage, as a being, as one that we're before and that You're listening. But we know You're on Your throne in heaven. Father, we call You Father because of what Jesus did for us. Crucified on the cross, He was buried and He was resurrected. And as we become in contact with His blood through baptism, You've made it possible that we become part of the family. And now we call Jesus brother. He is our brother because of what He did for us. And therefore, we are Your sons and daughters. We call You all powerful. We see the earth that You created, the beauty of flowers, of trees, the air that we can breathe, and how clean and fresh it is sometimes and feels. We see great weather patterns, how powerful storms are, the raging of the seas, and we know that is because You are all powerful. We call You all seeing, all knowing. Father, You have no beginning and no end, and that's hard for us to comprehend because we have a beginning and we understand end as far as this earth goes, but we have difficulty understanding everlasting, forever and ever. But we know that's You. You know us before You know our name, before we were conceived. You know what our length of time will be on this earth. You know what we will do from moment to moment. We call You all knowing because You know our heart. And it is You who is all powerful, all knowing, all seeing that we ask to shape our heart, so that we might be merciful as You are merciful. We might be loving as You are loving. We may be kind as You are kind. We may be compassionate as You are compassionate. Help us to speak Your oracles and Your oracles only. Your word, Your truth. Help us to magnify in our lives in such a way that we bring honor and glory to Your name. Father, You are our God. We are Your children. We praise You because Your name is above all names. It is mighty. We have courage and faith because You are our God and we see how powerful You are. We recognize our faults and our failures. Recognize, Father, that we don't meet Your standards at all times. We fail in Your sight. We pray, Father, that You forgive us of those times. We recognize, Father, that You continue to work in this world. We know You do. We have faith that You do. We see it. We've had brothers and sisters who've had experienced removal of sickness because we've prayed to You, knowing full well that You would help them. Father, we know that things happen too that we don't understand because we don't understand Your will at all times. And we do know, Father, that Your will be done. We praise Your name, Father, because we have been in contact with the blood of Christ. But we ask You, Father, to help us, to help others who have not experienced that, to do something, to say something, to guide, to teach, to be an example, that they too might experience the benefits of being called Your son or Your daughter. Father, we end our prayer praising Your name. Your name is above all other names on this earth. We ask You to help increase our faith, to help us when we doubt, to encourage us when we don't always believe as strong as we should. And we know, Father, that You guide, that You direct us, And Father, we just simply ask you to be with us at all times. We ask all these things through Jesus' holy and righteous name, and amen. In connection with the lesson and what we should and we do, we offer an invitation. For anyone that is outside of Christ, has not been baptized, has not become part of the family, we have this opportunity to do so. If you are wayward, you have strayed, you've been a Christian and maybe something's got in the way of serving God like you'd like to, and you need prayers of the faithful, we ask you to come forward. We have this opportunity while we sing 922. 922.